Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
On the line, coming to us from the capital of the country, Te Whanganui Ātara, Wellington. We have Katie Wilson from the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, Hikina Whakatutuki. She is a consumer protection advisor, and we're here to talk about how students can improve their consumer protection knowledge, because $16.5 million in unresolved issues happen every year when students have goods or services that are brought from a business that don't meet the standard they paid for. And those students, they chose not to act. And we want you to act, because we want everyone to get what they paid for. Good morning to you, Katie. How are we?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Nice. Yeah, I'm chill. I'm chilling like a villain here on the program. It has been a lovely time so far. It's been really, really chill. How is Wellington treating you?
Going good. It's a bit colder today, but hoping for some warmer weather soon.
Nice, nice. Before we talk about the student protection, consumer protection stuff, I saw that you used to be a security guard for about a year and a half in 2020, and I just wanted to know, how was that experience?
Yeah, it was good. It's quite a good gateway, because I used to do security here at MB. Mm-hmm. So I was able to make lots of connections with people that worked here. It was a really great experience.
Sure, you didn't have to hassle too many people?
No, luckily. Luckily, people were quite nice to me.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, let's talk turkey now. According to the 2024 New Zealand Consumer Survey, as I mentioned before, young people, 18 to 34-year-olds, they leave around $16.5 million in unresolved goods and service issues. Do you know how that figure was calculated?
Yeah, so that figure isn't a single number that's straight out of the survey. It's an estimate based on what the survey tells us. So the 2024 New Zealand Consumer Survey shows that about half of 18 to 34-year-olds had a problem with something they bought, and of those, more than a third didn't take any action to sort it out. So when you apply that size of the young adult population, apply that to the size of the young adult population, you get tens of thousands of problems being dropped every year. We then applied a very conservative average dollar value to each unresolved issue, which is well below what things like car repairs or housing problems usually cost, just to understand the scale. So when you add that up, you're looking at roughly $16 million worth of refunds, repairs, or replacements that young people are effectively missing out on each year. So it's really an order of magnitude estimate, but it helps show how much money is being left on the table when people don't feel able or confident to speak up. Mm. And then if we break down that $16.5 million figure even further across the country, it adds up fast. So that's about $190 per affected student, which is basically an entire month of morning coffees disappearing, which we all know is a non-negotiable in the lives of many students.
Completely true, completely true. If you were to attach a more liberal figure to the dollar amount, how much money would we see disappearing in terms of goods and services not rendered?
Can you clarify what you mean by a more liberal amount?
So you mentioned that you put a conservative dollar figure on yeah. the items and services that weren't.
Right.
Yeah. So if you were to be more liberal and have what does the estimate widen to from $16.5 million?
Yeah, well, it's hard to quantify exactly, because those bigger purchases have such a wider range of numbers. Mm. Because for things like cars and housing, it can range from, you know, really big numbers. So that's really hard to say. Mm. But yeah, it could be much higher than 16.5 million if we really were able to get that kind of data.
True. For young people, people with disabilities, Māori and Pacifica, and low income earners, there were five common problem sectors, and we've mentioned them right now. They are real estate, private vehicle purchases, vehicle dealers, auto repairs, and building and construction repairs. Why do you think these five areas are such troubling for sectors for consumer rights? Is it because their scale and scope are pretty wide? They're some of the biggest purchases people can ever make?
Yeah, I mean, those are really good reasons. In general, because they're high cost purchases, they're often common problem areas, because they involve, multiple laws and contracts, fees, finance agreements, warranties and insurance, which can make them difficult to understand and navigate, and more things can go wrong. And consumers might feel pressured to make really quick decisions or trust the advice of sellers or tradespeople, or they might lack the confidence to challenge those unfair terms. It's really smart to have a support person with you when making larger purchases, but in general, because they're more risky purchases for this younger audience, it means that you're more likely to encounter problems, unfortunately.
Mm. I mean, in a more anecdotal sense, you know, people always talk about, you know, people, mechanics and builders being sort of shady people. does this speak to that reputation, maybe having a little bit of truth to it?
It's really hard to say because I don't have that kind of data.
True.
But what I can say is that, yeah, when it comes to tradespeople and services, it's just really important to know that you have rights in those areas. So I'd recommend going to our website, consumerprotection.govt.nz, and looking up the information on services so you can ensure that you're really protected in those areas.
True. The survey mentions that young people are 10% more likely to encounter a problem with a product and 6% less likely to take action. Why are students and young people more broadly less likely to act upon, you know, reporting faulty products and services?
Well, honestly, the reasons are completely understandable. A lot of students and young people don't know who to complain to, don't know what the process looks like. They worry they won't be taken seriously, or they'll worry they will be perceived as being difficult or as being a Karen. But in reality, speaking up and saying something in a calm and respectful way isn't confrontational. It's just a normal part of being a consumer.
Mm. You mentioned that the sort of reputation of being a Karen or being labelled as a Karen. Out of curiosity, you know, do you have any data about the amount of people who do report products as being bad faith actors, as being people who are reporting a product when it's actually fine? Do you know anything about that? This is just out of curiosity.
Unfortunately, we don't have any kind of data on bad faith actors. But what I can tell you is that consumer laws apply to mostly everyday consumer problems, not just those extreme cases. So if you've got a problem with a product or service, then it's really good to know your rights and to speak up in a kind and respectful way.
Mm, completely. In an interview that you had with Critic Te Aruhi, the student magazine, which is just an office away next to me, you mentioned that most of the time businesses will help you out if you purchase a product or service that turns out to be faulty. Have you found that this is more common for New Zealand or local businesses when compared to large multinationals who might have more complex means of assessing faulty products?
Yeah, well, we know that most businesses, whether they're in New Zealand or overseas, do actually want to fix your problems, mostly because they want repeat customers. But it's true that there are more perceived and real barriers when it's an overseas company. It's definitely easier to go to a store down the road than to be put on hold for an hour on the phone while waiting for customer service for an overseas business.
Mm.
But the key thing to remember is that even if they're overseas, they're still selling into New Zealand, they're still trading into New Zealand, and therefore they're still subject to our Consumer Guarantees Act laws, and that doesn't change just because the business is based overseas. You deserve to get what you pay for, and you should stand up for your consumer rights.
Mm. It's important to get what you pay for, and it's also important how you pay. In the survey, half of 18 to 34-year-olds say they've used a buy now, pay later agreement, for instance, Afterpay. About 80% of young people who use these services are confident they understood the agreement well enough to make an informed decision and that the amount of credit they got was suitable for their needs. But only just over half of those who entered one of these contracts are confident that the company properly considered their financial situation and ensured the repayments would be affordable. Bit verbose there. But how does this highlight that we may need more regulation or public knowledge around these buy now, pay later financing services?
Yeah, so the laws around buy now, pay later providers have been changed since the survey in 2024 to bring them in line with other credit providers. So the plan is to review them to make sure that they're working in the way that they were intended. We'll also be able to see if that number has changed in the next consumer survey that will be out later this year. But if you think your buy now, pay later lender or other financial service provider has acted unfairly in any way, then there are options you can take to address your issue. This includes complaining to the likes of Financial Markets Authority. But we also have lots of information available on the Consumer Protection website specifically about buy now, pay later, including advice on what to do if things go wrong. So I encourage you to check it out. But the biggest piece of advice I can give is just don't buy more than you can afford, because people need to remember that it is a form of debt, so they need to treat it that way. And another thing to note is that even if you buy something under one of these schemes, they're still subject to the Consumer Guarantees Act, and that means that if it's faulty, you can still get a repair, replacement, or even a refund of what you've paid if necessary. But you're completely right. A lot of consumers feel confident that they understand the agreement itself, but they don't feel confident that the provider has properly checked whether they could actually afford the repayments. And that gap is quite important, because it creates a bit of a power imbalance that makes that financial stress quite difficult. Often there's a big feeling of shame with consumers that are having problems with repayments. They might think, oh, you know, it's my fault because I couldn't pay it. But really, the business has obligations too, and they shouldn't be lending you something that you can't afford.
Completely. I feel like it's really bad for people who have problematic spending habits, because, you know, I've used Afterpay before. After you make a purchase, it'll increase your credit threshold, so you can keep buying more and more bigger purchases. And I feel like that's kind of a slippery slope in some ways.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've used Afterpay before too, and I found that as well. It is really hard. It really does feel like it makes it seem like something's a quarter of the price when really it's not. You know, you ask paying the full price, so you're just spending money that you don't actually have.
Yeah, it's pretty worrying. 47% of young people say that there is inadequate access to dispute-resolving services when it comes to faulty products or services. Why is that?
I mean, there's so many factors that could create a barrier to accessing dispute resolution services. Not knowing where to start is one of the biggest reasons that people feel there's inadequate access. And that's one of the reasons I'm here to talk to you, to share what to do and explain the process. But also, anyone can make a claim to the disputes tribunal if they need, because it's there for everyday disagreements with a business about consumer problems. There are no lawyers or judges, you represent yourself, and an independent referee has both sides explain what happened and decides on a fair outcome. There is a small filing fee. It's between $60 to a couple of $100, depending on the size of your claim. I'd recommend going to the disputes tribunal website to see which fee band applies to you. But just remember, there are no lawyers or judges. So even at the higher end of those fee bands, it's still much simpler and cheaper than going to court.
Aside from that tribunal, if people do have issues with a product or service, they can go to the Citizens Advice Bureau and the Consumer Protection website, which has instructions on how to complain about not getting what you paid for. What else is there aside from these three different mechanisms?
Yeah, I mean, those three places are really good options to start, but you do have more options. Especially for the youth audience, there's youth law or community law. They can help you with your problem. But also there's the disputes tribunal ultimately. But yeah, I'd recommend checking out those avenues too.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And my last question is sort of a broader issue on not getting what you paid for. A tenth of all problems reported in the 2024 consumer survey have not been fixed as of the time that survey was released. How do we improve consumer protection so that number gets as close to zero as possible?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And at the end of the day, it is up to the buyer to fight for their rights. You know, the protections and the processes are already there. It's really just about knowing they exist and feeling confident enough to use them. A lot of people assume that it's going to be complicated or confrontational, when really it just starts with one simple message to the business. You know, this obviously doesn't guarantee a refund or guarantee an outcome, but it does open the door to a fair resolution. And many issues do get resolved at this step. Just remember that you won't know what's possible if you don't raise it. And you're not asking for special treatment here. You're just asking to get what you paid for.
A fair go. You remember that TV show? It's
exactly.
Literally what we're talking about.
It was a great show.
Yeah, RIP to that show. Thank you so much for coming on the program, Katie. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts, words, opinions, or considerations for our lovely listeners out there?
Honestly, I hope the key takeaway for people here is that if something feels off, say something, because you're entitled to fair treatment and there are options to help you sort out to help you with the next steps and to help you get that repair, replacement, or refund if it's owed.
Big ups to that. Thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, man. That was Consumer Protection Advisor at Hikina Whakatutuki, MBIE. That was Katie Wilson joining us to talk about students and consumer rights. Coming up pretty shortly at...
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.